listen up. We've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true. But they've declared a war on us. Fight back, it's up to you. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers.
War on the workers.
Oh, it's a war on the workers. And it's time we started calling the shots. Going to work could be the death of you and me, but we're not unarmed. Our weapon's solidarity, Jim Beals and Karen Silkwood, the list goes on and on. With every year that passes, 60,000 more gone. Oh, it's a war on the workers.
Welcome to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by the Dominion of Cab Drivers here on WUST 1120 AM. I'm Pete Tucker with the Fight Back, thefightback.org. To all the moms out there, including mine, happy Mother's Day. Tuesday at 4 p.m. in room 500 of the John A. Wilson Building, located at 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest, former Ward 5 Councilmember Vincent Orange will be sworn in as the newest member of the D.C. Council. In last month's special election, Vincent Orange defeated incumbent Sekou Biddle, who had been temporarily appointed by the D.C. Democratic State Committee to fill the seat previously held by now Council Chair Kwame Brown. During the campaign for at-large councilmember, I asked each of the candidates a series of 10 questions, two of which were directly related to the taxicab industry. In responding to the taxicab questions, Vincent Orange's comments were concerning. Quote, "The entire taxicab industry in the District of Columbia really needs to have a comprehensive reevaluation of how it operates," said Orange. And on the subject of the recently introduced medallion legislation, Mr. Orange declined to take a position, saying only, "I'm looking forward to being part of the debate." Question number four, D.C. taxicab fares are some of the lowest in the country. Would you be in support of making D.C.'s fares competitive with neighboring jurisdictions?
Yes, I think they should be competitive with neighboring jurisdictions. We shouldn't have the lowest fees and someone go right across the bridge making more. But I think the entire taxicab industry in the District of Columbia really needs to have a comprehensive reevaluation of how it operates and making sure that we are competitive.
Question number five, what is your position on the recently introduced taxicab medallion legislation?
I'm looking forward to being a part of the debate. I don't have a position.
That was then candidate, now council member-elect Vincent Orange, who will be sworn in as the newest member of the D.C. Council Tuesday at 4 p.m. in room 500 of the John A. Wilson Building. While Mr. Orange, the former Ward 5 council member, declined to state his position on the medallion bill, the current Ward 5 council member, Harry Thomas, introduced the legislation along with his colleagues, at-large council member Michael Brown and Ward 8 council member Marion Barry. The legislation was co-sponsored by Ward 7 council member Yvette Alexander. Council's chair, Kwame Brown, assigned the legislation to the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, which is chaired by Ward 6 council member Tommy Wells. Mr. Wells has said that he intends to hold a hearing on the bill in June after the budget is passed. In the days following Mr. Wells' hearing, the Committee on Public Works and Transportation will likely vote on the medallion bill. The committee consists of five members: Mr. Wells, Ward 4 Councilmember Muriel Bowser, Ward 3 Councilmember Mary Che, Ward 1 Councilmember Jim Graham, and Ward 5 Councilmember Harry Thomas. If the medallion legislation passes out of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, which is by no means a sure thing, it will go before the full council for a vote. John Ray, the former council member, works closely with D.C. taxicab mogul Jerry Schaefer and has quickly become the leading medallion mouthpiece. Interestingly, not even John Ray denies that the medallion legislation will be to the benefit of bigger companies. Directly following the March 30th press conference on the steps of the John A. Wilson Building, Mr. Ray answered questions.
Well, I think what will happen in the District of Columbia is that if people did go out and sold, or if they sell their medallions just to come, I think in 20, 30, 40 years, most medallions in the district will probably be owned by four or five companies. I mean, the reason for that is because, unlike New York, there's a large number of companies that already own cars. For example, the folks who were here today, I mean, there was four fleet owners here. Mm-hmm. And one of them own 200, one owns 100, one owns about 80, another owns about 50. You know, those individuals, just like any other company, is going to be out trying to buy medallions down the road. So, and on top of that, I think there will also be a provision in the bill, because folks have expressed this in their discussions with the government officials, that they will limit the number of medallions that one company can own to ensure that one company does not own all the medallions. So I don't think that there's any fear that one company, but if you're asking me, do I believe down the road that most of the medallions is going to be owned by companies, my answer would be yes, because I think that most individuals, when they sell their medallions, companies are going to offer them more than the individual.
That was John Ray, the former council member and close ally of Jerry Schaefer. The medallion legislation would limit the number of taxicab drivers in the District of Columbia to just 4,000. Presently, there are at least 8,000 drivers. Do the math. If this legislation becomes law, at least 4,000 drivers will lose their jobs. But it gets worse. With medallions in the hands of big companies, drivers may find it increasingly difficult to earn a living, as is the case in all too many of the jurisdictions which have turned to the medallion system. With much on the line, drivers are organizing and fighting back in a variety of ways, and I've had the opportunity to hear about some of these efforts at the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest. Each and every night, between 8 and 9:30, I'm at 15th and U, and tonight I'll be a bit late directly following the show, but I'll be headed down there. While the focus of this show is on D.C. taxicab issues, a number of drivers have discussed the impressive organizing in Prince George's County. Joining us shortly will be Getachew Mengesha with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance. After several years of organizing, the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance successfully pushed through legislation that helped to establish a fair playing field for drivers. Unfortunately, Prince George's County appears to be dragging its feet on implementing the reforms, and Getachew Mengesha will discuss the upcoming press conference being held Tuesday outside the Prince George's County Department of Environmental Resources at 9400 Peppercorn Place in Largo. We now turn to an interview I did with Mr. Mengesha July 13th outside the Prince George's County Council, directly following the long-awaited victory which awarded 390 PGs to individual drivers, not to the big companies which dominate the industry. It's been a long fight on the steps outside the city council. You just had a rally, a celebration, and well, after the vote, Chairman Dernoga, you know, he wanted to try and keep it calm, but it was just an explosion of energy, people pouring out, tears. One person said, you know, second slavery has ended. Can you talk about your emotions right now?
Yes, because when I came to the United States, I thought I came to free country and serve freely. But when I get into this industry, I was like a volunteer slave. I'm look like that. So that's what makes me emotional and make myself to cry, because our working condition is exactly like a long time slavery system. If you ask a company something, leave the key and go out. We have no contract. We have no anywhere alternative where to go. We have kids. We have to make our expenses to pay. So it's hard for us to, you know, be in this. Only way is to fight and win. We are lucky we won today.
Getachew Mengesha, I met you a couple weeks back at a Prince George's County Executive debate. Can you talk about the organizing, the becoming political, how long it's taken? This is not just an accident that today, at a 9-0 vote, the Prince George's County Council has gone against the interests of big business and has voted on behalf of the taxi cab drivers. How much effort is, and how many cab drivers have been involved in this impressive effort?
We have a lobbying group. We have been working on this organizing. The leadership has two jobs. One is to organize the cab drivers. The other job is to come to the county and discuss about the issue with the council. And then now we extended our effort to the community, political activity. We are now actively participating in any political activities. We go everywhere, any commitments. We ask it, we pay, we give free rides to people who need to go to that kind of community activities, and we will keep on doing that. We are today become strong because we involved in the political process, and now union is known with every corner.
At first, my understanding is that when folks in politics and the people who are allied against you, when they saw folks from all over the world who are taxi cab drivers, this is an industry in Prince George's County which has a lot of immigrants who are working, they said, oh, well, you don't have to pay attention to them, they don't vote. But you've shown that's just not true.
Yeah, that's not true, because we have citizens, we have professionals, we have a lot of cab drivers holding masters, two masters, there are PhD holders, and there are also politicians. They used to be a leader of industry, agriculture, or any organization back home when they were, before they came to this country. So we have multiple experience. We are not just a cab driver. We are professional to even handle any issue coming to our organization.
Any final thoughts you want to share, Gerechu Mangesha, on this really, it's the special day for you, a 9-0 vote of the county council on behalf of the taxi cab drivers. As I saw you, as you came out of the county council chamber, there were tears in your eyes.
Yes, I just want to say to other jurisdiction taxi cab drivers, they have to fight hard to get their freedom. That's important. In life, you have a shelter, you have a food, you have clothing. The third thing, freedom is important in your working area, so they have to fight for their freedom to make themselves free. And we are free today. I just came out with tears in my eyes because I got my freedom of working.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
That was Gerechu Mangesha of the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance speaking outside the Prince George's County Council last July. Mr. Mangesha will be joining us shortly to discuss Tuesday's press conference outside the Department of Environmental Resources at 9400 Peppercorn Place in Largo. This is WUST 1120 AM, and you're listening to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers, brought to you by the Dominion of Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. This show, along with past shows, can be found at thefightback.org. A Wednesday at 10 a.m., the DC Taxi Cab Commission has a scheduled meeting, the first since Mayor Vincent Gray's firing of former DC Chair Leon Swain. The meeting is scheduled to take place at the DCTC offices at 2401 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue Southeast, Suite 204. Former DCTC General Counsel Dina Reed is now the interim chair. At a recent DCTC meeting, Dina Reed attempted to ban Fox 5 photojournalist Jason Smith from filming the public meeting. Why can't there be a camera in here?
Because the commission is not... No, you're not going to record me either. I'm not going to be on record.
Is this a public meeting?
It is a public meeting, and you're welcome to stay and observe.
Okay.
You cannot record the meeting unless the commission allows you to do so. It does not. I don't have to show you anything at this point.
Can you state your name?
My name is Dina Reed. I'm the general counsel of the commission.
Can you show me where?
Come out the room.
Because honestly, unless you show me specifically where it says that...
Commission rules do not permit, do not provide for. I can't show you anything because it's not written in there to allow for cameras. If it's not, okay, then we won't be having a meeting. If the cameras don't leave the room, we're not going to have the meeting.
Since when?
Since right now.
We've covered these before with the problem.
I've been here, so I don't know anything about when you. No, you haven't. You've been here. Yes, you have. You've been here.
Absolutely.
You haven't recorded. You have not had cameras in these rooms.
It's never been a problem. Explain to me the statute that says I can't be here, you can show it to me.
Mr. Swain.
I will gladly leave. I have no problem leaving, but if it's a public meeting, you can't just throw me.
It's a public meeting, you're welcome to stand and observe the meeting.
I will.
Not with the cameras on.
That was former General Counsel Dina Reed, now chair of the DC Taxi Cab Commission. After pulling a former chair Leon Swain out of the hearing room, she decided to change her mind and allow Jason Smith to film. It's worth noting there remains not a single taxi cab driver on the DC Taxi Cab Commission. This Wednesday at 10 a.m., the commission is scheduled to meet at 2401 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue Southeast, the first meeting since Mayor Gray's firing of former DCTC chair Leon Swain. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org. Directly following the show, I'll be headed down to the gas station at 15th and U Streets Northwest for any drivers who want to continue the conversation in person. This is the voice of DC cab drivers, brought to you by the Dominion of Cab Drivers, and I'm joined in studio by Pete Harmon with the Dominion of Cab Drivers. Welcome, Pete Harmon.
Welcome. Happy Mother's Day. Glad to be here with you. We're going to, of course, be discussing these issues again. And we also want to tell you that we're going to be having flyers available this week. Hopefully have about 20 or 30,000 of them. You can start passing them out to the public. We'll have bundles to give to drivers. Of flyers you can pass out to every single customer in the cab. Tell everybody about what's happening, how it's going to affect you. I've been doing this. I'm getting a very positive response from the public. Virtually nobody is for this bill. they're pretty well appalled by what is happening. But you need to engage with the public. It's very important. I can't emphasize this enough because, of course, the Washington Post, as usual, doesn't want to cover this issue. I've talked to three Post reporters over the years. I said, you know, when you cover the issue, why don't you say we have the lowest fares in the country by far? And they won't even put that in the paper. They say drivers are upset about some nefarious thing about because we, you know, have a zone, did not get our keep our zones. Well, the problem, of course, was the low fares. And also, I mean, we need your help, not so much your money. We need your help and time. We need, we're going to have a sign-up list where you can get drivers to, you know, put your name, your cell phone number, your email number, so we can be in contact with everybody immediately. We have a computer bank of numbers so we can contact people when there's meetings, when the city tries to sneak something over on us, if we have to have strikes or any sort of action on the street. I think you must realize from, you know, what Mr. Tucker just read, that there's a good many of the city councilmen that are for this bill. A lot of them aren't even saying it now.
Four have publicly stated their support. That's Ward 5 Councilmember Harry Thomas, At-Large Councilmember Michael Brown, and Ward 8 Councilmember Marion Barry. It was co-sponsored by Ward 7 Councilmember Yvette Alexander. And so there's time, you know, not much, but there's time to build the pressure to make sure that no one else signs on to the legislation. But right now it's four names that are on the legislation. There are 13 D.C. council members.
As far as we know, Mary Che is the only one who's come out against the bill. As you heard from what Vincent Orange said, he did not want to discuss it. He wants to reevaluate the whole entire tax industry. I think you need to realize what that really means. That, you know, they and a lot of drivers believe that the bill has been modified or will be modified to include more drivers to get medallions. We were at the meeting with John Ray. He basically...
Well, when you say we were at the meeting, I tried to get to the meeting, but I was thrown out by John Ray after Jerry Schaefer told me I was welcome to come in. Then after John Ray became outraged at my presence, he then had me thrown out.
Yes. Well, us cab drivers, at least some of us, were allowed there, and of course the news media was thrown out.
And then you were thrown out too.
Then the cab drivers were later thrown out and only met with a few fleet owners. From talking to some of them that were in part of that meeting, certainly one of the older black cab drivers, Mr. Lucas, is with us, even though he would, like many of them, will gain personally from this medallion bill or possibly could. They don't think it's right. They want all drivers to be able to keep owning their own cabs. But anyway, he said basically what happened after we were thrown out is they basically worked with the fleet owners to modify the bill to make it more favorable for them, particularly the Schaefers, not make it more favorable for the drivers. All these drivers that think that they're going to get a chance to get a medallion, even the ones like myself that have had a license for 20 years and do not live in the district, John Ray said very clearly that the cab companies will have first rights to buy the medallions, and they will buy them all because they're selling them dirt cheap for $10,000 a piece. Basically, you might have a chance to get one of the 800 to Anacostia, but the 3,200 medallions that'll be worth something, that'll be valuable to either keep your job or to have a business. They don't want as few drivers as possible getting them. because otherwise they're not valuable. The only reason these big companies haven't moved in is they cannot compete with us. They cannot compete with drivers that own their own cabs. Red Top cannot rent a cab in Washington, D.C. for $110 a day because nobody will rent from them. They can't compete with us. And this goes, you know, so this goes for the drivers that don't own their own cabs. In Washington, you rent a cab for $150 a week, not $150 a day like you do in other cities. And that's because of the competition from the private owners like myself and others. A lot of drivers keep thinking, and this is a problem we've had organizing. We need to say this very clearly. These guys that think they're going to get medallions and get rich, buy a gas station or whatever, think again. They're not going to allow you to have one. They don't want you there. They're not going to give you something worth a whole lot of money. And even if they did, you're basically selling your brother into slavery, because the next man that comes along and has to pay for that or has to work for somebody else and paying $150 a day, you're exploiting them. The only reason these things are worth anything is because you're exploiting a cab driver.
Now, Pete, I want to give out the number to join the conversation. It's 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. This is the voice of DC cab drivers here on WUST 1120 AM, brought to you by the Dominion of Cab Drivers, and that's Pete Harmon with the Dominion of Cab Drivers. Pete, I've been speaking with a lot of drivers. It's been incredibly educational and just a real wonderful experience. Night after night at the 15th and U gas station. And I think I've one driver I've met who is in favor of the medallions. And I've talked with a lot of drivers. So they're just, this is overwhelming. Now, the way the media portrays it is there's disagreement. In fact, there is not disagreement amongst drivers. Drivers are overwhelmingly opposed. And the next step is drivers are encouraging us to get flyers. What are the next things that we can do? If you have any comment on that, feel free. And then I also want to go back to the meeting that was at Schaefer's offices on Benning Road. I don't know all the people that were there, but I did speak with Mohammed Momin of Silver Cab. And he said that he was in favor of the medallion legislation, but he was looking to work out the details, you know, see how many medallions he would get. I don't know if you know some of the other folks that were there and if you wanted to name any of them and some of the other things that were discussed.
Well, again, the only question of modification is to enable either a few more cab companies besides the Schaefer's to buy in. From my understanding, each company will be only allowed 300 medallions, but Schaefer owns 16 cab companies. Right there, he could tie them all up. The bill is unclear how many medallions each cab company can get. In other words, how many will be left over for the drivers. Do you have to own a cab now in your company to have the medallion? Will you be able to put some more on the road and qualify for more medallions? Basically, the whole point of the way the bill is written, and it's really rigged in terms of favor of the Schaefer's, but a few other, and there may be other cab companies, large international companies like, say, Viola Transportation, which owns cab companies and bus companies around the world, that are interested in moving in. They can allow a small companies to buy up medallions, and they can turn around and buy them from them. They would be the front men. There's Washington, D.C. This system has been a cash cow. They're looking for it to be a cash cow. They see that it supports all these cabs at the lowest rate in the country, and they're saying, gee, if I can get my hands on, if they have 2,000, 3,000 medallions, we can rent the cabs out for a lot of money because they're going to raise the rates, and there'll be a lot more, you know, we'll take that same revenue, but instead of dividing amongst 9,000 drivers, we'll divide it amongst ourselves and 2,000 or 3,000 drivers, and we can keep the lion's share of the money. And don't think it won't happen. Philadelphia drivers pay 2/3 of the meter to the company. To make $100 a day, you have to run $300 worth of business. The company gets $200, and you get $100. They do that two shifts a day. That is why they want these. These, in many cities, they make profits of $100,000 a year or more per cab. And the only way they do it is by exploiting the heck out of the drivers and overcharging the public, charging much. So basically, you end up, if any of you think that you're going to get rich off this, You're only doing it by selling somebody else down the road. And the thing is, they're playing you for fools. You're not going to get it. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think we have some of the most politically astute people as drivers I've come across. And I don't think we got many fools. I'm saying people are overwhelmingly opposed and asking, you know, what is it that we can do? And as we said, we're going to get the flyers out to drivers this week. And the other thing, you know, there are some drivers who are holding out hope for Congress. And I'm not saying don't lobby your Congress member. But really, this thing comes down to 13 D.C. council members. There are 8 wards and 5 at-large council members. And it's those 13 individuals, assuming that it gets voted out of the Committee on Public Works and Transportation, which is chaired by Ward 6 council member Tommy Wells, who's going to say he's going to hold a hearing on the bill in June after the budget votes. Assuming it makes it out of that committee, but we don't have to assume that. We can push to make that not happen. Mary Che is on that committee, Muriel Bowser. I named the others. And by the way, not just the audio from this show will be posted at thefightback.org, but also the introduction with all the information that was gone over earlier. All that will be up. Also, you know, you can go to thefightback.org and you can read the legislation. Drivers need to get familiar with this legislation, and every driver should know about it. Many do. A few still do not, and need to know who the names of the people who introduced it, Harry Thomas, Michael Brown, Marion Barry, co-sponsored by Yvette Alexander. And each week, we need to find a way to get one more council member to publicly state that they are opposed to the legislation. Pete, you mentioned Mary Che. I haven't read anything. Maybe she has. I just haven't come across it, saying that she's publicly opposed to this, and we need to maybe have her on the show next week if we can make that happen, and start getting, you know, one by one council members who are opposed to the bill. But the most important thing is that drivers talk to passengers, talk to other drivers, use our voices. It is absolutely critical to speak and to keep speaking and to keep talking and to keep learning and to keep speaking. That, to me, is an invaluable asset that drivers have, is that there's overwhelming opposition. And so each driver, multiplied by so many drivers who are politically brilliant and ready, willing, and able to apply pressure to 13 council members, there's nothing inevitable about this legislation becoming law. We're still trying to reach Getachew Mengesha, who headed up the Prince George's taxi, he's part of the leadership of the Prince George's taxi cab drivers, and they did just amazing things and are still struggling to bring some of those gains home. But they offer an example of what organizing can look like and the impact that it can have, as you heard from the audio below. It was a 9-0 vote of the county council, who certainly didn't start out, you know, in favor of the bill. But they kept organizing and showing up at different meetings, and that's why we discussed, you know, Wednesday's DCTC meeting, DC Taxi Cab Commission at 10 a.m., the first meeting since the firing of Leon Swain, and then Tuesday's swearing in of Vincent Orange. These are all opportunities that's at the John A. Wilson Building, 1350 Pennsylvania Avenue. These are all opportunities for drivers to, you know, for each of us to get involved and start learning about this process and figuring out where it is that we can fit in. Because, Pete, there have been a number of drivers who, like yourself, who attend the DCTC meetings, who get to the council, and now is the time for many more drivers to really step up.
Yes, I think everybody possible should go to the meeting this Wednesday at 10 a.m.
Although there won't probably be room, because I've seen...
Right, well, show up. Show your face.
Absolutely.
And we stand outside. We let them know what's going on. You know, we did this when they were going to have a hearing basically on that we weren't even told about. It was supposed to be a secret public meeting. We weren't told about it. We found out. Guy showed up, and it was basically probably going to be on a medallion bill. As soon as all these cab drivers showed up, they changed the subject. Then they went and had what they called executive private meeting, which, of course, we know they talked about then. But basically, these guys are trying to hide in the darkness. They're trying to get this thing through without the public knowing what it's about. They're trying to hide it under a bushel basket till it gets, you know. We shed light on how evil this bill is. We shed light on telling the public how many of us are going to lose their job, how many of them are going to have fewer cabs, how many of them are going to have to pay a lot more for a cab. This is what we need to tell the public. The public will understand. You know, I Many people in Washington have lived in other cities where it's much harder to get a cab. They pay more money. I think we have a very easy sell, but we have to get this out in the light of day. They only get away with this by keeping it in the dark.
This is the voice of DC cab drivers. The number to call to join the conversation is 703-534-9878, 703-534-9878. We're having some trouble reaching Getachew Mengesha, so hopefully we'll make that happen. In the meantime, I wanted to turn to an interview I did with John Bogg, a longtime driver, a member of the DC Professional Taxi Cab Drivers Association. So we're going to play some of this interview, and then hopefully we'll get Mr. Mengesha on the line. And if you want to, again, join the conversation, 703-534-9878. Your name?
John T. Bugg, B-U-G-G.
Your profession?
I'm a professional taxi cab driver in Washington, D.C.
For how long?
Since 1957.
Have you had experiences bumping into hack inspectors?
Oh, yes. I've had experiences bumping into hack inspectors, and they have violated not only my civil rights, but every driver's civil rights they come in contact with, because they don't have the arrest powers. And these people come in and they want to look through your financial records, which is better known as a manifest. They want to have you to get out your car, let your hood up, so they're going to inspect to see whether or not you got some oil on your under the hood, and then they want you to open your trunk to make sure you ain't got no... I mean, this is just ridiculous stuff that they be doing. And all of this is violating my civil rights. And I'm sick and tired of it.
I should have began with this question. What is a hack inspector?
Well, now, a hack inspector is supposed to be not a law enforcement officer as such. They're supposed to carry out the mandates of that taxicab commission, in as much as any time the commission say like, for instance, you been out here and you've been driving up and down the street, you've been spotted driving up and down the street, you don't have any insurance. And the people from the insurance company had called the hack office, and the hack office sent a man out in the street to get you. But before he can do anything to you or even talk to you, he got to get the Metropolitan Police to back him up, because they have the authority. They have the arrest powers. These people do not have no arrest powers. And I can't stress that enough. We need, this hack inspector is supposed to just look around and see things. Like, for instance, if they see you out here and you got your car was in an accident and you haven't fixed it or something like that, then they call the police and say, hey, look, we got to get this car off the street or something of that sort. But They have very limited functions. And right now what they're trying to do is they're trying to say that these people are law enforcement officers, which they're not. You know, so they just have limited authority. I mean, you know, as far as saying you're going to stop a taxi cab, they've gone as far as put cruising lights on top of the cars that they that these people be driving, these hack inspectors drive, which that is for us. I never seen or heard nobody to tell or show me where these people have the authority to pull a car over. I don't care whether it's a cab or what, you know, and to write a ticket. I think they still need, no, I don't think, I know, they still need the Metropolitan Police Department to assist them in writing tickets. They can't just come up on you and tell you, give me your driver's license, give me this, give me that, because they don't have the authority. It's a big mess. It's just a big mess. You know, and you could sit down and you can talk about that for years, and it all goes right back to the same thing. These people are violating the taxi cab drivers' civil rights, and they are, and far as I'm concerned, you violate my civil rights, I do have the right to get the proper authorities, you know. And at this point, I think we're going to have to take some action of our own, you know. I mean, we can't just let these people do us like that, because, so I understand, they've taken two or three people off the street for not obeying the hack inspector. You know, even if you talk about the Metropolitan Police Department, we're not talking about obeying nobody. We're talking about abiding by the law. Is that, I think that's the proper way to put it. So they're just a distraction from this industry, man.
Two questions for you, John Bug. One is, personally, what do you do when a hack inspector has his lights on behind you and is pulling you over? And then secondly, collectively, what do taxi cab drivers need to do to address this problem?
Well, I see him behind me. First of all, if I hadn't noticed the hack inspector, I'm not going to stop. Now, if this guy, so I understand, they sometimes speed up and cut the cab drivers off. Now, the minute they cut me, I'm going to let my window up and I'm going to call the Metropolitan Police Department, because they don't have a right to do this to me. And this is the only thing I can tell any taxi driver. You're going to have to keep on telling any and everybody that try to violate your rights that you're not going for it, and call the police. You know, this is what I'm telling everybody. You know, they do not have authority to put no lights on and pull you over. These people don't have no traffic authority. They're supposed to be with the DC Taxi Cab Commission, and they don't have the authority to pull no cars over or go through their personal effects. So that's basically the whole thing. And see, you can't just talk about the hack inspector. We got to start talking about the district government and how they're allowing things to take place in this industry. And how they allow these so-called hack inspectors to run roughshod over the drivers. Most of these drivers are foreigners. And most of these brothers and sisters out there is afraid of these people. Because I don't know whether you can imagine you being about 3,000-4,000 miles from home, and this is the only way you got to feed you and your family. And here we turn around and I just walk up one day and say, I'm going to take your license. I'm going to take your way of making a living. And, you know, so these guys are petrified. They're not lawbreakers, most of them. We got lawbreakers with the American drivers. We got lawbreakers with the foreign drivers. But the main thing here is, this country do not believe in mass punishment. And if this brother here break the law, you go after him. You leave me alone. You know, and these are the things that the district government is gonna have to address. And we getting a meeting with Mayor Gray to try and get him to address our problems, because we got massive problems, man. You know, this thing done gone so far now where you don't even want to leave your house, man. You know, I mean, and all of this is all about trying to take this business away from us and give it to the corporations. Now, I mean, you can do it. You know, I mean, people have just ran over people like that, but I'm looking at the fact that the free enterprise system gives me the right. If I got a dollar, I can go and buy an apple, and if I can sell it for more money, I can sell it for more money. And if I need a license to do that, and we got all the licenses that you need to do this business. But we got the taxicab commission, the district government, is trying to take this, all of this away from us and say, you will work for the corporations. So it's no mystery. It's no mystery, man. It's all out here and it's all looking at us, you know. So that's basically all I can say about this thing here. We're just being, but our rights are just being violated. And it's time that it stopped.
That was John Bogg, longtime driver with the DC Professional Taxicab Drivers Association. For the full interview, you can go to thefightback.org. Pete Harmon, I wanted to get a quick comment from you. There are differing legal points of view about the hack inspectors, and I don't want to give drivers any wrong ideas about, you know, not pulling over if a hack inspector is behind you with lights. But clearly, this is an issue that needs to be addressed going forward. But you had some thoughts you wanted to share.
Well, basically, I want to thank Mr. Bugs and also a lot of the other older black cab drivers who might benefit from the medallion bill who are with us, because they think it's terribly wrong. And he pointed out the reason they're doing this stuff is to force us out of business, and they weren't able to do it, so now they're going to do it legislatively. Speaking in terms of being pulled over, my understanding from lawyers and the head of the DC Police Union, they have no legal right to pull us over. Only the Metropolitan Police Department, Secret Service uniform, Capitol Hill Police, and Park Police are the only ones that have that right. They are essentially create a false arrest because it's short, you know, and false imprisonment. I would suggest you still pull over and do it, because otherwise you're just going to have more problems. But if you have customers in a cab, do what I did, was document it. We had the phone number of an FBI agent who was interested in this. If they continue to keep doing this, and I think they've let up a bit now because they got the bill that they want, because that was the the only reason they've been harassing us and high fines and everything else is to put us out of business. Now they're going to do it legislatively. So I think they're going to back off. But anytime this happens to you, document as much as you can. Cooperate and document, because if they're doing this illegal, which they are, you know, maybe the D.C. police won't do it, but D.C. government will do it, but the federal government will.
Thanks, Pete Harmon. We have a whole bunch of callers who called in, and we're trying, and we just now have Get the Chew Mangesha on the line, so we're going to turn to him, and then hopefully we can, maybe the last 8 minutes, get to all the callers. But I wanted to bring Get the Chew Mangesha, who's with the Prince George's County Taxi Workers Alliance, into the conversation. Welcome, Mr. Mangesha.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. So we played earlier a clip from the interview that we did in July after the major victory that Prince George's County Taxi Cab Drivers won regarding the 390 PGs or medallions that go to the drivers instead of to the companies that dominate the industry. But since July, you haven't those medallions have not ended up in drivers' hands. Can you explain where the situation is right now and explain about this press conference that you have coming up Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. outside the Department of Environmental Resources at 9400 Peppercorn Place in Largo, Maryland.
Thank you for giving this chance. When the Prince George County Legislative Branch passed the CB 36, the tax law, they have granted 390 taxis medallion to be given out to the drivers, but the Department of Environmental Resources only they gave out 254 medallion. That means we have 136 pending. So the basic objective of the public action on May 10, we're going to the Department of Environmental Resources because they are the one responsible for enforcing that law. We are going to request them to release that the left 136 medallion immediately because it is the basic for the drivers to have their work ability because they are paying $330 a week. Still holding that medallion means forcing drivers to continue paying $330, which is $17,000 a year. That's more than half of their earning. And we are really disappointed about the practice of the licensing office, which is under the Department of Environmental Resources. That's why we are going to have a public action. At the same time, we have a new report which is exposing the whole system, how it is broke. Last year, we also issued a report similar, which is prepared by the independent professional. And then we try to distribute to the county public elected officials and the other law enforcing agencies. No one take action because that company should be investigated, and there are many taxi cabs there not allowed to be on the street. They're not paying the government the tax. They are forfeited for the last 10, some of them are more than 10, 20 years. So we need that to be investigated and the industry law to be fixed.
Getachew Mangesha, next week maybe we can follow up with you about the press conference, and I look forward to taking a look at this report and reading through it. We have a whole bunch of callers on the line and only 10 minutes left, so I wanted to get any final thoughts you have, but I look forward to closely following the situation in Prince George's County and staying in touch with you.
Okay.
Do you have any final thoughts you want to share?
No problem. If there are any callers, you want me to answer the question or to continue explaining what it's about?
If you have any final thoughts you want to share about the issue, actually, that would be great if you stayed on the line. And as we take callers, if you had any comment, it would be great to have you jump in.
We have also another issue, which is really, which concerns that the county council member, one of the council members, Mr. Willie Campos, tried to put a law. Sponsored a new bill which is going to affect the content of the law which is passed last year. We are also going to oppose that legislative, and I mean the bill. So our drivers are really, they need that medallion. Last time when they deny some of the drivers, about 400 drivers applied to get the medallion, but they only qualified 254. The reason that they denied the drivers is very minor. It's not an acceptable reason. We need them to consider that.
Thanks so much. We're going to start. If you can hang on the line, if you have further comments, it'd be great to hear from you. You've certainly done some amazing organizing in Prince George's County, a real inspiration for D.C. taxicab drivers. We have a number of calls. Let's see if we can get through them. Caller, welcome to the voice of D.C. cab drivers. You're on the air. Yes, welcome.
Yes, thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak on your radio. I am one of the supporters. I'm also a driver in Washington, D.C., and I live in Ward 1.
Great.
And so far, Mayor Gray do not like the so-called medallia. And to be precise, that we need to come up, kill this the so-called medallia, number one. Number two, we have to come up with something that he would like, because he might change his mind if he's convinced enough to really reform this industry. Because we all know from the government side and from our us drivers' side, when it comes to rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff, it needs a huge reform. We don't have to discuss about that now, but all I see is that, and also what I realize is that there are no uniformity on the information about the so-called medallia. That is, like every taxi cab drivers, they are holding small meetings informing few people, you know, according to their wishful thinking. And then they come out to say that, okay, I am representing such group and such group. And then as I am really for a union that who I really need to see men and women who have got a union mentality, not business mentality. They even called it, not to be sarcastic or not to be really negative, I do not even like the name that is given, that it says Taxi Business Association. When we fight for our rights, when we try to really, you know, ask for our rights, what needs to be done fairly, we are not going as a business.
Okay, thank you very thank you. We have a whole bunch of callers. So.
Excuse me, can I finish?
Okay, you can if you can be quick, because we have to call all callers.
I understand that.
Yeah.
See, you are not interested to hear what I am saying. You need to accept what a driver and what I am saying, and then let's talk about it.
Okay, we can do that maybe, but actually we're going to go to the other callers now, because
Callers, but also we need to talk. We have to get together. All cab drivers, we have to find a way to come together and talk about it and discuss about it and select our own people who have got union mentality. And I would appreciate that.
Those are excellent points. And I would just say the Small Business Association of Taxi Cab Drivers is doing that, and it's some of the best organizing that I've come across. And we have a bunch of other callers on the line. Caller, welcome to the voice of DC cab drivers.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Okay, thank you. First of all, thank you. You're doing a great job. Secondly, I have two comments. One is laying off 4,000 small businesses in a city. This is equal to a big earthquake. And I think it's going to show up in Department of Labor's Obama's statistics, how the jobless claims, and his polls are going to go down. So we have to tell this story, I think, somehow. I know your resources are limited to the White House. And it's also going to, you know, sink the economy of the region. Second point is quick point. Like you suggested, I was talking to one of passengers. He was a lawyer from Capitol Hill. And he told me that it is ironic that Democratic Party, they stand to fight for little guys. But it's their bad habit that they kill businesses by regulating them. So we have to approach Republican, because they are on this issue. And instead of going to Washington Post and being rejected again and again, there is a Washington Times too. We have to use, I consider myself a Democrat, but I think they're not our friends on this issue. So we have to, you know, explore all other avenues. But again, thank you very much. I appreciate the work you guys are doing.
Well, thank you very much for that call and that information. We have two more callers on the line. I want to make sure we get to everyone. And apologies for the people that called in before, and we were playing the John Bug interview. Didn't want to interrupt that. And we've gotten tight here at the end. But next week, we can leave more time for callers, so apologies for that. Welcome to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers. You're on the air.
You're talking to me?
Yeah, welcome.
Oh, yeah, my name's Phil LeBay. I'm a dispatcher and a driver. You discussed the hack inspectors pulling people over. They're holding a public hearing this Friday at the Taxi Cab Commission, and that's one of the changes they're proposing to make, is the Taxi Cab Commission empowering the harassment inspectors to pull over cab drivers. I don't think the Taxi Cab Commission can do that, so whoever those high-powered lawyers are at Aiken and Gump need to get after them. Now, the city council perhaps can do it, perhaps. I don't even know that. But there's some other things that they're considering that are not good for the drivers. The fines are going to start redoubling. But, you know, I can't go, but I'm going to email my written testimony. And those who can't go and testify do need to hand in written testimony.
Mr. LeBay, is this at the DCTC or is it at the DC Council? This is the first I'm hearing about this meeting. Do you know where it's taking place and what time?
10 o'clock Wednesday. If you go to the DC Taxi Cab Commission website.
Right. I thought you said Friday. No, yeah, the Wednesday meeting we've talked about, and that's where this is going to be discussed at the Wednesday DCTC meeting?
Yeah, there's a public hearing. If you go to the Taxi Cab Commission website, there's a link to the DC Register with a notice of the public hearing in it.
And the subject is going to be whether we should further empower hack inspectors, is what you're
saying.
That's
one of the things. There is a bunch of changes to Chapter 6 and 8 of Title 31. They're going to jack up some of the fines. You know, we've had our fees jacked up, our fines jacked up. Where's the concomitant fare increase to pay for these excessive fees and fines? These illegals are out here taking our money away to pay these excessive fees and fines. One of the things they're going to do is jack up the fine for an illegal driver to $1,000. That's grand. How about enforcing it and leaving the legitimate drivers alone? There's a whole bunch of stuff. If you will go to the DC Taxi Cab Commission website, there's a link to the DC Register notice of hearing and the changes they're considering. And some of the fines are, you know, they don't pass the test of cruel and unusual punishment.
Thank you so much for the call. We will be there Wednesday. That is a very, very excellent heads up. That's 10 a.m. at the DC Taxi Cab Commission at 2401 Martin Luther King Jr. Avenue, Southeast. I think it's Suite 201. And so thanks for that call. We have another caller in just 2 minutes left. Caller, welcome to the Voice of DC Cab Drivers.
Thank you for giving me the opinion.
Thanks for calling.
To give my opinion. The woman who just talked a few minutes ago, I do support her. We do have to have a union mentality. And then the other thing is, DC Taxi Commission don't even, respect their own proclamation, which is, you know, the DC Council should not, you know, overrule the DC Taxi Commission, because the mayor put the DC Taxi Commission to regulate anything relating to taxi, business. Hello?
Yes, you're there. Keep going.
Yeah, I just have one quick question. My question is, if the DC Council vote, can the mayor override or can he veto, because he don't support it?
I think the way it works is that the mayor, I think, can veto it, but if the council is united and they pass it overwhelmingly, I think it's a two-thirds majority. I have to find out for sure.
Nine votes
that could override the veto. So if the council is not split into two, then it doesn't matter if the mayor vetoes it or not. But if the council is split into two, then Mayor Gray's potential veto could have a real impact. Gethetu Mangesha, do you have a quick comment? We just have 30 seconds left. Thank you for staying on. And apologies, we didn't get to talk more with you. We'll be continuing to follow your situation in Prince George's
County.
Excuse
me, can I give everybody a quick address? When you get names and numbers of drivers, can you send them to 413 Williamsburg Drive, Silver Spring, Maryland, 20901. That's 413 Williamsburg Drive, Silver Spring, Maryland. We get as many numbers and drive. We put in a computer bank. We can reach you all immediately.
Mr. Mangesha?
Sorry.
Thank you for your support to on this industry. I'm just trying to invite all the drivers to be on the public hearing and public action. It's very important for the future opportunity. Thank you for giving this opportunity.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We'll continue to follow the situation in Prince George's County as well as in D.C. This is the Voice of D.C. Cab Drivers. I'm joined by Pete Harmon with Dominion of Cab Drivers. I'm Pete Tucker with The Fight Back, thefightback.org, where this show will be archived. Special thanks to Francis Stewart for a great job engineering the show, and I'll see drivers throughout the week at 15th and U from 8 to 9:30 p.m. Let's keep talking, keep the word spreading. Tune in next week. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Listen up, we've got a war zone here today, right in our heartland. And across the USA, these multinational bastards don't use tanks and guns, it's true.